Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time on this website, listening to a sermon on this website, I just want to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. On this site that you're on, there's multiple sermons, so you can stroll down. You can find sermons on faith, prayer, spiritual warfare, salvation. I encourage you to check it. You can check those out. Everything's free on here. I post devotionals throughout the week, Monday through Friday. I try to anyway, so there's another source. A few Bible studies on here, but not too many. Now, of course, like I said, all these resources are free. If you're new, there's several ways you can contact me. You can contact me through that email link here that's on this website. Also, I was out on Facebook. I was restricted for almost 2 weeks due to violating policies or whatever. It's just not whatever it is. But normally you can reach out to me through Messenger, Facebook. So there's, if I'm not banned or restricted, and that happens periodically throughout the year, these restrictions hit me and I can't get on Facebook. So I have to do an appeal and then they have to look at whatever it is. But probably that's a good way to get a hold of me. The best way is probably through email. But if you do email me, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries, got questions or something. So if it doesn't go to my direct email and if it goes to my spam, I'll be able to find that and be able to respond to any questions that you may have. Of course, I don't make my phone number available through this website or on Facebook because of I've had threats before, so I give my phone number out to people that I trust. So if you do, you know who I'm talking about, and you that are listening, you already have my phone number, so you know you can text me that way. That's the fastest and best way to do it, but through Facebook, and I've been playing around with Twitter, X a little bit, and Instagram. I'm not really too impressed with Twitter. It seems more like a political platform, but Instagram, it's all right. But Instagram's actually connected to Facebook, I think. So, but I get on that and I play around with that just a little bit. I've been playing around with it a little bit more. So that's just another two ways that you can possibly get a hold of me. If the Facebook ever goes down, you don't see me posting on that a lot like I normally do throughout the week. Scriptures and podcasts. It's a good indication that I've been restricted. The best way, if you don't have my phone number, to contact me is through this website where you can email me. So just throwing that out there. So if you're new, you got that information, Lord laid this website maybe 5-6 years, I don't remember, about 5 years maybe now, this website, to create a website and to preach on this website as a means of the reach, whoever, another source of outreach, right? So I do preach at other churches physically, periodically throughout the year, and I also do Bible studies periodically through the year. Nothing fancy, just, you know, I preach, I teach, and all that, things where God puts me. And then I also work a 40-hour work week on a secular job, so I'm doing this, I'm doing that, so, and then I'm trying to pray and keep my, you know, my armor up as I go through life, so I don't get opportunity every time to post sermons every week, but my goal is to, on this website, to post a sermon every week on this website. So this is a little bit, if you're new, what we've been going through is a preaching and teaching sermon series on the Psalms. The whole title of this sermon preaching teaching series is Learning the Psalms. Learning the Psalms. I did create a separate tab for where I can just put all the sermons in there. I kind of fell behind posting the on the sermons. I just wanted to have another way for you guys to click on, and if we take a break, and we probably will some point in time during this teaching and preaching or teaching series, however you want to look at it, to go into other topics. Thanksgiving is coming up. Christmas is coming up. I like to kind of cater some messages to, especially Christmas. But not saying that's going to happen. But then say next year we pick back up where we're at, you'll be able to have all the Psalms in that one click on learning the Psalms tab, so you can listen to. And this is going to be we'll be in Psalm 10. So overall, now when you compare all of it, it's probably about 20 hours of preaching and teaching already in Psalms, and especially after this one's over. So there's already plenty of messages that you can listen to over and over if you want to take notes. Learning the Psalms. Psalms is is one of my favorite books. I have many, but it's one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. I find a lot of strength through the Psalms, and you don't really hear too many sermon series or preaching series on the Psalms, and God really laid on my heart, and there's 150, so I'm like, wow, 150. Maybe I'll get through them for us over. That would probably put about almost 200 to 300 hours of sermon material out there when it's all said and done, and all free to be able to go back and listen to learn the Psalms and to apply these messages to your life. It's all, this ministry is about transformation. I don't want you to leave the same way that you came in. I want a transformation. I want the Holy Spirit to move in your life so you will go out there and be that light to this lost and perverse generation. So we'll be in Psalms 10. What I normally do is I read through the whole psalm, we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. So if you have your Bible, Psalms 10. If not, you can just listen. Psalm 10, 18 verses, says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou myself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride do persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. Bless the covetous whom the Lord abhorred. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. The judgments are far above all of his sight. As far as all his enemies, he puffed at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversary. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit, and fraud under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sits in the lurking places of the village, in the secret place do he murder and murder the innocent. His eyes are probably set against the poor. He lie in wait secretly as a lion in the den. He lie in wait to catch the poor. He do catch the poor, and when he draw him into the net, he crouch and humbles himself, and the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hid his face. He will never see it. Rise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore do the wicked contend? God, he has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou behovest the mischief and the spite. Who a queen which is in my hand, the poor commit himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out the wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his hand, out of his land, sorry. Lord, thou hast heard the desires of the humble. Thou hast prepared their heart. Thou hast caused thy ear to hear. to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, if you just come before you in your holy name, guide and direct as you see fit through this teaching, this preaching in Psalms 10. Give me the strength, your will be done. Even though I've studied and prayed over this, still, the Holy Spirit can reveal through preaching and teaching as I go through this that I have not looked at. And Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, you just move on those that are hearing right now. They're hearing the words through your word, God. That's the most important, that the word of God penetrates their heart. Rattle them if you need to. Shake them if you need to. You see their life. You know what's going on. And something is amiss, Lord. Lord, we pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit just pours. And they repent and turn from wherever may be going on their life to a holy and righteous God. They may be on a path that is not lining up with your word. God, we pray, Lord, that they change direction. They change perspective. God, I pray those that may not know you, God, we lift them up. We pray through these messages that it points to you and that salvation, the glorious gospel, rattles them to drive them into your word so they will seek your direction and what it means to be saved. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've been going through these Psalms, you may have caught on a recurring theme, at least for the last few Psalms, right? Psalms 9. God was directing David to this theme that may you see, and you may, if you go back, I encourage you to go back and listen to Psalm 9. We just finished that up. But the main theme of Psalm 9, it was two parts, is God is good regardless of our circumstances. You see, Satan and his demons, they have many ways to shed doubt on God's goodness. But Satan and his demons, what they need is to isolate you. They need you to feel that you are alone. I've looked at a few Bible commentaries on Psalm 10 and many putting Psalm 9 and 10 together. And I can see that, of course, others do not. But from my studies, I can see that these two go together. And they need to be read together and studied together. See, David, in Psalm 9, he's struggling with what he's seeing all around him. In Psalm 10, he's still carrying this heaviness. Psalm 10, I put Psalm 10 as David. Some don't believe that, but I put David as the physical author. It just matches up with so much of David's writings when you're really getting into and you're studying this and you're just looking at the way he wrote as the Holy Spirit moved on him. It's just amazing. So I view that David wrote this, but ultimately we know the Holy Spirit, whoever that you may not agree with me, that wrote this was moving, and there's this heaviness of this theme that was continuing in Psalm 10 about looking around and seeing the wickedness around us. As David is a child of God, but as children of God, we will struggle, right, with the wickedness. All right, no good. Let's take that off. With the wickedness that is going on in this world. And we may ask God, why are you taking so long to come back? This can bring into the goodness, the questioning of goodness of God. But I want to tell you, if you think it's bad now, buckle up. You have not seen anything yet. It will get worse. But when we look at this old world, especially here in America, I see the glorification of abortion. Over 60 million babies killed in the womb, and the number is growing. And I promise you will be hard-pressed to find many American pulpits preaching on abortion and the wickedness and the sinfulness of it. But just as a nation, right? A nation that is still calling for the blood of the innocents. The ones that cannot defend themselves. That poor innocent baby that did not ask to be born, to be brought into this world through unprotected sex. Yes. The ones that want to glorify the abortion, the killing of this baby, that will use the excuse of incest or rape. And I want to tell you, when you look at the percentage, incest and rapes due to pregnancy is 1 to 2% of pregnancy. Out of the that means 99 to 98% of people, they're having sex as a hobby to pass time away. I want to tell you, sex is one of those topics that preachers don't want to touch on. But this world touches on it like it's nothing. The popular artists is like Taylor Swift. They talk about sex all the time. They have millions of followers. But as a pastor or preacher, when we start talking about sex, it seems like we shouldn't be talking about it. We need to change. We need to talk about the issues that are very important to our culture and also important to God's word. See, sex is very sacred to God. He created sex in that covenant relationship, that marriage. He wants you to be married before you have sex. How many pulpits are preaching on sex before marriage? We should not be having sex before marriage. Sex should be done within the confines of marriage. And really what it boils down to is majority of preachers will preach on topics that will not get themselves in trouble with their congregation. This type of preaching has been going on before I probably was even born. It's getting worse. And guess what? America's reaping what she has been sowing. They're picking on topics where it's safe. That's easy on the ears. They don't want to stir the pot. Right? To tell that the importance, if you're living with a man or a woman that is not your wife or husband, and there's only two gender, male and female, that's another topic that needs to be addressed. And you're having sex with them, you're not married, that is a sin. If you're okay with that, then you're okay with your sin, and you don't want to turn from it and turn to the scripture where it's clear that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that sex is within that marriage is important. Out of that marriage is called adultery or fornication. Actually, fornication if you're not married. Adultery if you're married and sleeping around with somebody else. And that's happening too. But how many preachers are calling this out? We'll be hard-pressed to find that only a few percentage of preachers in America, pastors in America, are calling this out. Calling out for purity. Sex before marriage. Right? Is calling that we should dress modestly, meaning we should not be wearing clothes in out, especially in the church or even out, that are exposing our parts. Women walking around, they look like hookers. Men out there walking around, that they look like prostitutes himself. No, as children of God that's truly changed, we do not wear stuff that's exposing, that's attracting others to look. What should be attracting others to look is the glorious gospel shining through us, not how tight our jeans are, or how tight our shirt is, or how our boobs are hanging out of our blouse, or whatever. It's amazing. skirts up to way too high. But they're professing to be a child of God. And maybe they don't know no better, but when you start preaching on it, what happens? Are they going to get convicted or get mad? Most of the time, they're just going to get mad, not convicted. And that's a sign that that person's heart is not right with God. We see his sin running rampant within the four walls that we call churches here in America. Pulpits aren't preaching and teaching the full counsel of God. The pulpits are not flowing with the truth of the gospel. The pulpits are saying to be holy, for God is holy, and without holiness, no one will see God. Halloween's coming around the corner. How many churches out there are going to be doing trunk or treat, celebrating Halloween? It's celebrating Halloween when you have people still dressing up like ghosts and goblins and like witches, but you're going to say, oh, I'm just going to do trunk or treat, try to shed the light. How are you shedding the light when you're dressing up like a witch and trying to hand a gospel tract out? You're trying to play pity patty with the world. And Satan looks at that, he laughs. God looks at that, he it grieves him. It should grieve you. See, Satan and his demons do not need much room to come into your church, into your life. All they need is a crack for you to open up for them, to bring in their darkness and their chaos. Not popular, I get it. Hitting a lot of things here that people do not want to hear about, especially here in America. These messages do not sell. What they want, a performer, a message that will be emotionally sparking to get them to be hyped up like a football game. So, but when they walk out them doors of the church, they're, that church, that graveyard, they are just as dead as they were when they entered. They do not care about how to walk or how to act. That is what? To walk in the Spirit. They look like this world. They smell like this world. And they could care less in walking more in the Spirit. They prefer to be more in the flesh. As a child of God, we should live our life as God is watching. Because why? He is watching you. The psalmist here, which I believe the psalmist here, as I said, is the same psalmist in Psalm 9. David, he is writing this psalm with music, and we talked about how these, most of these psalms, they were designed for music. And in Psalm 10, if you ever get a chance to really look into it and do a deep dive into Psalm 10, this psalm has actually each several verses matches up with some of the Hebrew alphabets. I thought that was really cool, but I'm not really going to go too into that. I try to keep these down to an hour, so if I go into that, it will be here almost 2 to 3 hours. I don't want to do that. I want to try to keep this to an hour, although I'm pretty sure this will go over an hour. But I encourage you to go look at this. Most psalms but were set for music, so that is really what I want to take when we're reading the psalms. Understand this is a song to the Lord. And this is a hard song for David. Because he's looking, he's questioning. He's questioning what he's seeing around. And the theme of this psalm, or the heartbeat of its message, is this. And is changing your lenses. Changing your lenses. When we look at verse 1, right? This is David. He has several questions here. He said, "Why standest afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble?" Two questions that we can find ourselves asking. One commentary puts it this way: the cause of Christ often seems too flattering. and suffering defeat. But the kingdom of God is marching forward, inevitable, triumphantly. Sin and iniquity may gain the advantage temporarily, giving the appearance that God is indifferent toward these injustices. But such temporary losses should never be interpreted as God's ultimate defeat. God will have the last word. His eternal kingdom cannot fail. It must prevail. You see what's going on all around us is when our eyes, when we're looking at this world through our own eyes, through our own lens, we'll be like David and we will struggle and say, why standest thou afar, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Pray as we go through this psalm and others with this biblical truth that we need to change our lenses. If you're wearing glasses like I do every year or so, I got to go to the vision doctor, get my eyes checked. As I get older, my eyes are getting worse, so I need new prescription, new glasses with new lenses. Maybe you guys do not wear glasses, but you can relate to what a lens or lenses are. Maybe you can relate back in biology class, or I know when I took my biology classes, which was a long time ago, in high school, that was way long ago, and college, that was maybe not as far as long ago, but you have microscopes, and microscopes, they would have this adjustment lens on it, where you can get better focus, so you adjust that lens to get better magnitude, meaning focus on whatever you're trying to look through that you have placed underneath that microscope. It's usually, it can be anything from a sample of germs or whatever that you put under there to get a magnitude and to see what's going on. And the higher magnitude is, you can see deeper into that sample, a little critter's crawling around. And I always thought that was kind of cool to see. You would see, I can't quite remember all the little glass things they had to be able to look at that, not, but you could get a magnitude. What I'm getting at, lenses matter, right? The function of lenses to do what? To help us see better. Of course, through the lens with our own eyes, that is our vision, right? If our lens are not matching up with our eyes, our vision, we will not see clearly. Now, giving these physical illustrations I just gave, I want to tell you, we can have a different kind of lens, a different kind of vision, and a different kind of perspective, or our eyes looking toward the opposite. How we view challenges in our life, we can either see the challenges from our flesh, or we can see the challenges from God's viewpoint. See, Satan and his demons, they love for us to operate in our flesh through this lens, to their lenses, right? Our vision will be clouded. If we're going through the flesh, our lenses will be clouded. Our vision will be clouded. We become easy targets for the enemy, right? Satan and his demons. And what do Satan and wants to do to us, and he employs the demons with the same methodology that we see in 1 Peter 5:8. John 10:10 says, and I've went through these scriptures quite a bit, and I hope by now you probably kind of got these memorized, but 1 John 5:8, I got a lot of stuff memorized in the KJV, so it'll pretty much roll over. But be sober, right? Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. John 10:10, right? The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And of course, I am indicating Jesus, right? Came that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. This is where our enemy Satan operates. He has plenty of demons that will make this happen. He is a roaring lion. He's walking, walking back and forth, seeing who he could devour, right? And he's a thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we're looking through our fleshly lens, our fleshly vision, we fall in the pit of despair that we hear David lamentating, crying out to God, having these questions. He's looking around, he's seeing the wicked prosper. Let's listen to verses 2 through 11. 2 through 11, it says, "The wicked in his pride do persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of the heart's desire and bless the covenants whom the Lord abhorred. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God, and God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. The judgments are far above all the sight. All his sight is for all his enemies. He puff at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversary. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit, fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sits in the luring places of the village. In the secret places do he murder the innocent. His eyes are probably set against the poor. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den." And David would use these imagery of the lion. That's just beautiful. And you can also relate that back right to Peter. A lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He do catch the poor, which he draws him into his net. He crouch, he humbles himself, and the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hid his face, and he will never see it. David is stating a truth about the wicked. The wicked in their pride will attack the poor. They do not care for anything else but themselves. They want to build their own kingdom on this earth. They are happy with their wealth, and they will do anything to keep it, even if they have to steal, kill, and destroy to keep it. And they will. This is a fact, but when we're looking at what the wicked has attained in this world, and we start questioning the goodness of God, we're letting Satan and his demons to affect our minds. We're looking in the wrong lenses. Our vision is clouded. Luke 12:16-21 says this, "And he," that is Jesus, "spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying," this is his flesh, right? "What shall I do?" Get this, he's looking at the ground. The ground produced abundance. And he's looking with his vision, his flesh. And he says, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits," meaning there's abundance. And he said, "This is will I do. I will." Look at that. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul has much goods lay up on me for many years. For thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God. See, here you have this rich man. You say, a certain rich man, don't have a name, it's a parable. Parable is a story to illustrate a point, meaning there was somebody within the listening ears of Jesus when he was telling this that needed to hear this. And guess what? There may be somebody that listening ears right now that needs to hear this, that you may have abundance. But God says unto him, "That fools thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When whom shall those things be what thou hast provided? And actually, I typed that up, and let me go back on 21 and make sure I have that correctly written. Sorry about that. That's Luke 12, 16, and 20. I'll go back to 20. Luke 12, 20. It says, but God said unto him, thy fool. That's like fool is just one. I put an S on fools for some reason. Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whom shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lay up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. Man. This is a sad account that or a story that God is providing Jesus Christ, right? And believe it or not, Jesus Christ, same problem David's having, right? Same problems, right? Richness. Now, it's not a sin to have wealth. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when your wealth owns you. Your wealth devours you. Your wealth becomes number one in your life. And you acquire more of it. You have an appetite. You're feeding this appetite that will never truly be filled. That's why you see Hollywood stars with wealth. I can't even imagine. Well, I read some of their stories on how they have these 20 million mansions with all this other stuff, and I can't even grasp that amount of money on a home. And I don't feel envy toward that. I don't covet what they have. Because I know where their state is. They want more and more. They think they're happy. They're truly not happy. They're chasing things of this world, and they will chase these things straight to the pit of hell if they do not change their lenses, their vision, getting their eyes off the things of this world that will never bring them true happiness, but ultimate damnation one day. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. He's giving this story of a certain rich man who had plenty. And instead of saying, I have plenty, and others do not. And to look around him and say, there are people that can benefit from how God has provided me with plenty, with food. And I can go out there and help others. No, this rich man did not do that because he did not have the right lenses on. He was operating in the flesh. He had a appetite of more and more and more. And David seen this appetite of the wickedness that they will do anything. They have an appetite, right, for more and more. And he's asking God, don't you see this? Do not you care? Why won't you react? And David's in his flesh, right? This is David being selfish. And we may be crying out like this. And that means we're selfish too. Because God is reaching out to those individuals. He does not want anyone to perish and go to hell. Jesus Christ, when He's given this parable, He did it for a reason. There was somebody there that needed to hear it. There was somebody that was needing to hear it then, and we have the beautiful Word of God, and there's somebody that needs to hear it now. Tell you that all the treasures that you gain on this earth will not mean anything unless you are a child of God. And if you are truly a child of God, you will not want to tear down your barns that God has given you plenty so you can gain more. No, you will look for others to invest in. You will pray for God to guide you to reach those that are truly in need, that cannot pay for food, for groceries for their home, for their children, those that cannot keep the electricity on or the water running, and that may be working several jobs just trying to keep in their burning the candle on both ends, right? They're having problems with their vehicles or transportation problems. God, as a child of God, if we are blessed with plenty, we reach out to those that are in need. And this shows you have a heartbeat of God. The wicked are not like this. They're always seeking more to prosper themselves. But they may prosper for a while. Here on earth. But the next, if today was their last, their screams in hell, the furnace of torment, will be forever. We need to change our lenses, our visions, our eyes focus more on God and His direction for our life. Let's read the rest of these verses in Psalm 10, starting with 12. It says, And rise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore do the wicked contend God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it, thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite within thy hand. The poor committed themselves unto thee, thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked, and the evil man seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. The Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble, that will prepare thy heart, that will cast thy ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. All earthly treasures that we may gain in this life will lead us bankrupt into next life if God's not in it. See, the wicked here, they're gaining these treasures and they will do anything to keep them. They're operating in the flesh, right? They're investing in this world, and Satan has them wrapped around his chains because they have allowed these chains in their life, which is sad. And when we start getting this perspective, when we start changing our lens, our vision, our eyes need to be more on the Most High, we look at these wicked people, and we need to see that their souls are lost, and that if they die right now, their souls would be lost, and they would be everlasting damnation. As a child of God, that breaks my heart, and we pray that it breaks your heart, right? Instead of looking at what they're, all the material things in their life, we should look at what they are truly losing in this life. Mark 8:34-38 says, And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall love it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is intense, right? Not preach often in American churches, or maybe not at all anymore. And I consider this part of the salvation message. You see, my friend, when we are truly believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that should change us from the inside out, meaning that you are no longer the same person you used to be. Now, we still fight the flesh, right? The key here is we fight against the flesh, but we have the Holy Spirit that helps us, is that fight. We don't do this alone. We have the Holy Spirit that helps us. It helps us put this flesh to death every day. We do not want to be comfortable in this world, because the world is not our home. We seek every day to deny ourselves, to crucify this flesh, right, and its afflictions. And we take up the cross of Jesus and follow him, meaning wherever we may face or whatever challenge that we may have to endure for his name's sake, we're okay with that, because we are truly committed our lives to Jesus Christ, regardless what may come our way. We have the lenses on, right? The right vision. Our eyes are firmly on Jesus Christ. We stand boldly against the current of the time, this anti-God agenda that's against God's word. And we stand on God's word and truth. God's word tells us that we need to be saved. We need a savior. We are sinful. And left to our own devices, we would bust hell wide open. But God came in our life. He changed us. And he's molding us. And he's directing us. And he's guiding us in the path that he has for us. Oh, we should seek his direction and his way every day. We should cling to the old rugged cross every day. This is the right lenses that we should be having on every day. It's not a one-time thing, my friend. No. It's submitting to God every day that you wake up. And say, God, here I am. Holy Father, give me strength to deny myself. You know me, God. Help me pick up the cross every day. Help me put my eyes on you to follow you regardless of what may come my way. Take away everything else and just give me you. You see, when we do this, we will not be in the flesh often. When we would be, in closing this out, that verse 1, like, why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? See, David is hurting. And David is needing God to open his eyes to these questions that he's asking. And he does get answers throughout the Psalms. When you read through it, it's just the struggling that David's going through. But there's points where he gets it. And in the Psalms, there's just different points in his life where David is being challenged. And there will be points in our walk with God that we will be challenged. And if we're operating in the flesh, right, we will open ourselves up to the attacks of the enemy who has been doing this for a long time, and they're really good. They don't need much room to operate, to attack your mind, to attack your life. They're looking for weak points in your life. That's why it tells us to be, in Peter, right? To be sober, to be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he's a roaring lion, seeking who that he may devour. We are to be sober and vigilant. And how do we become sober and vigilant? We change our lenses every day when we wake up. We get our mind right with God through His Word, through prayer, starting at the very beginning of our day, and that should continue throughout our day. And when we're doing this, what are we doing? We are denying ourselves. See this, we have to have this constant state within our day. It's just not just in the morning, but it's something that it's a discipline of training our mind through the Holy Spirit as we walk through this life, that day, that we have God at the center of everything that we are encountering. That's how you walk a successful Christian life. When we practice these disciplines that are clearly laid out in God's Word, but when we stop practicing these, we start leaving ourselves open for attacks that will cause us so much pain, to question God's goodness, like Satan loves to do. If you serve a good God, why is this going on? Why are they being attacked? God is good regardless of what we may be going through. And I know that message is quite lost today, especially here in the American churches, because we think we are something special. We think we are not going to go through the persecution and the suffering that we're seeing in third world countries. I got news for you. We will one day. And I don't say that to scare you and to cause you to lose heart. I'm telling you, we need the right lenses on, the right vision. When we're looking at the wicked, we should not envious the wicked. We should not covet the wickedness. What are they gaining to hold the material things of this life? But what are they doing? They're gaining these things, but they're losing their own soul. Why? Because you can always tell that when wealth is controlling somebody, that all you have to do is talk with somebody for maybe 5 minutes, and you can already tell where their heart's at. When they start talking about their nice home and their nice vehicles, they're talking about their vacation, and it's all centering on themselves and about what they have carved under themselves. And you immediately understand that Satan has a hold on their life. How deep that hole is us for an opportunity to expound the gospel to them. Some will say, well, you know, I do go to church. I get that. I've heard that. I'm like, that's really good. They don't stop me from giving them the salvation message. Telling them, using scriptures that I know that are not really being taught at many churches in America. Denying yourself, picking up the cross, following Him. Following Jesus Christ, right? You truly believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this transformation of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He rattles you. He shapes you. He's molding you to be the disciple for Him. And as a disciple for Him, nothing else in this world matters except Him. Yes, we go to work. Yes, we got to pay our bills. But at the front burner of all of that is Jesus Christ. When I'm at work, yes, I have to work. I work a 40-hour work. Sometimes it's overtime, but at the front of it is when I go into somebody's home, I'm seeking the opportunity to reach into their life. Oh, I may lose my job. So what? I know a God that can provide another job. If it's because of me telling somebody about Jesus and I lose my job for that reason, God will take care of me. Now, if I do it for some other reason than my flesh, then that's my fault. And I've been at my job for a while now, and I have prayed over people. I have witnessed to people, and God has protected my job. Well, I'm getting at, we need to, when we look at others that are lost, we should have a heart for the lost. Yes, it's easy to get in the flesh and to look at them and to envy them. But when we do have these thoughts, we need to understand that Satan is influencing our mind, and we need to put those thoughts captive. So, this sermon, this in Psalm 10, anything out of it, I want you to ponder that, changing your lenses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, I pray over those that are listening to this. I pray over their life. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know where their walk is with you, God, but I'll lift them up to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just moves wherever they may be going through. Maybe somebody came across this and they're out of church and they decided they do not want to go to church anymore. God, Lord, I lift them up to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, whatever may have happened in their life or whatever hurt that may have happen within the four walls of the church, God, we pray over that hurt, Lord. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray if somebody's here and they're on wealth and how wealth can corrupt us, and they may have plenty, God. Lord, we pray over them that they realize there's people out there hurting, and they reach out to others. This ministry doesn't ask for money. I don't ask for the money. I pray that their eyes are open to look around in their community and to reach into the hearts of people that are truly hurting and to help, to lift, to give them just not only help materially wise, but also the life-saving message of the gospel. God, I pray over those that may be going through a struggle or a challenge in their life. Maybe it's isolation from their family. Maybe it's isolation from their friends. Maybe there is depression, anxiety that's ramped up in their life. God, we lift them up, Lord. Lord, we pray over those that may be going through some form of medical or health thing that's rattling them. God, we lift them up by your holy name. We know that you have the ability to heal. With according to your will, you can reach into somebody's life and remove any kind of mental or health issue. God, we lift those people up to you, God, Lord. And most important, we pray, Lord, over those that may not know you, God, that may not truly know who you are. God, we lift them up. Lord, we lift they that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through this ministry or place somebody in their life, at their workplace, in their family, within their friends, within the marketplace, at the gas station, that will be compelled by the Holy Spirit to go up to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, I just want to say, reach out if you need to reach out to through me. Reach out to me. You can email me through this website. Probably the fastest, one of the best ways to be able to do that. Just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries. I am on Facebook right now until they ban me again. But this website was done to because of that reason. So you can email me if you need to. There's a little at the very home page. You can scroll down. You'll see. Just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. If it goes to spam, I'll be able to pick it out. Check my spam once a month. When I was actually banned from Facebook, I was actually checking it. Got caught up. Kept checking it every day just in case if anybody would email me. I'm on Facebook, so that is the fastest way to reach me is actually Facebook. And private message me if you need to, if you're not part of my friends group. If you have any kind of biblical questions or thoughts on this sermon, reach out to me. I will do what I can to through a messenger to talk about whatever biblical issue that you may be having or issues that you may have with this sermon. Or if you listen to all the Psalms and you have a problem with any of them or any of the materials that's on this, you can reach out to me. You can private message me. I'm very careful who I put on my Facebook. Now I am as friends. And I have a private group on there that I'm very selective who I add on my private group. So I can add you to that after we have some text back and forth talking about salvation, talking this and that. I'm on Twitter a little bit, Instagram a little bit, but the fastest way is through email or Facebook. And some of you guys have been listening for a while. You have my private number. You know who you guys are. Y'all can always text me. Y'all do. Alrighty. Y'all have a good rest of your... If you're listening to this at the weekend, have a good weekend. Pray tomorrow Sunday that you're headed to church. If you're listening throughout the week, Lord, I pray over you that over your weekend that you'll have a good one. But if you're listening to it just over the week, God, just lift we lift them up to you, God. And y'all have a good one. Bye.